Turn your Bibles to Proverbs 29:2. We're going to be in Proverbs primarily, one scripture in Malachi. So this is not my statement. I'd probably be quoting someone, but elections have consequences. On whichever side you are, elections have consequences. So tonight we're going to look at what those consequences are, and then we're going to talk about what our response should be. Okay? So I'll let you look at the picture up there, and it'll kind of be a good introduction. They're all pretty easy. You see the purple feet, and that would not be a good sign, would it, Stephanie? So the forcing us to approve of and pay for abortions is here and will be for the next 4 years. The next pictures are a little more, were a little more troubling for me to figure out. The little guy on the right, that's obvious little guy that's dressed as a young lady and in cheerleading outfit, and now as a teenager, that's what he looks like. And he's had therapy and a sex change. So that's what's the top center picture. And then you see the two on the right that are the same sex. You see the two guys down are same sex. So, and then you see Rachel Levin in the center. And she's been at the top of the news because she is a vice cabinet member pick, the first openly transgender person to be appointed to a position that will require the approval of the Senate, by the way. And she is a biological man who now identifies as a woman. We'll talk more about that today as how it relates to freedom of speech and freedom of religion. And then abortion is health care. So that's okay. Three things. Okay, you need to understand. We're dealing with three things. The church is, in my opinion, abortion, transing, okay, and freedom of speech. Because if they get our freedom of speech, what's next? Freedom of religion. Okay. So it's just a progressive deal. So that's what this message is about, and this is what I believe is the church's business over the next 4 years, okay, to combat this. I didn't say anything about the economy. I didn't say anything about foreign policy. I didn't even say anything about open and closed borders and immigration. Those are issues that the church might be concerned about, but not necessarily issues that the church is going to get up in arms about. Amen? We've got three issues. Proverbs 29:2. When the righteous increase, the people rejoice. But when the wicked rule, the people groan. Proverbs 28:12. When the righteous triumph, there's great glory. But when the wicked rise, people hide themselves. And we're going to look at these scriptures. Proverbs 28:28. When the wicked rise, people hide themselves. But when they perish, the righteous increase. In Malachi 2:9, and so I make you despised and abased before all the people, inasmuch as you do not keep my ways, but show partiality in your instruction. Lord, I pray that you would bless the study of your word. I pray that you would bless our time together, that we might be prepared to righteously and in a God-glorifying man do all we, a glorifying way, push back against all kinds of evil. So I pray that you'd help us. And it's in Christ's name that we pray. Amen. John Calvin said this, when God wants to judge a nation, he gives them wicked rulers. I have not said that a president or a vice president are wicked people. But we are under the next 4 years a wicked rule by a platform that has been voted in, as in fact is what's going to be taken forward in the next 4 years. When we voted on November the 3rd, we did not just vote a man into office, but listen to me, but also a platform, an agenda, okay? I'm not talking about a man or a woman. I'm not talking about a vice president or a president. I'm talking tonight about an agenda, about a platform. A platform is what that man and his party who elects him plans to do when they take office. It's in writing. That's their plans. Over the last 10 days, we've seen the plan of the party elected to power for the next 4 years being implemented. Not by laws that Congress and the Senate passed, but by executive orders which have become the rule of the day. Today, I want you to see the priority of that platform. I want you to know that these policies have consequences, and we as God's church must determine how we'll deal with those consequences. Let me show you the consequences that the church must not be silent about. And Jimmy can put the picture back up there. Abortion, transing, making right or wrong right, promoting such as this. That's what we're dealing with for the next 4 years. So Jimmy, you can take it down. So let's go back to Proverbs 29:2. When the righteous increase, the people rejoice. But when the wicked rule, the people groan. People rejoice when there's good government. The principles of a good government, listen carefully. There is a moral law, and it comes from God. There is a creator. This is good government. There are inalienable rights. There's rights we have as free people. God protects God-given rights and people from evil. That's what good government does. And it protects our right to vote. Now I want you to get the fourth one. God's good government protects God-given rights and protects people from evil. I want to tell you, abortion, transing, and taking away our freedom of speech is evil. Any way you cut it. And the government is supposed to be protecting us from evil rather than forcing evil upon us. This scripture teaches us that people mourn because of oppressions. We haven't had any. In other countries, Christian people are oppressed. We've not seen any of that really. I think we will in the next 4 years. The people mourn because of evil. That ought to break our hearts. The people mourn because of the dreadful judgments of God that we ought to rightly fear. Listen, that begs for God's judgment. And God's people ought to fear the judgment of God. But when the righteous are in authority, sin will be punished and restrained. Religion and morality will be supported. Did you hear me? Religion and morality will be supported. When the wicked and evil are in power, wickedness will abound. Religious and religious people will be persecuted. The ends of government will be turned upside down or perverted. The promoting of evil rather than the promoting of good. The people rejoice or mourn according to who their leaders are. The righteous will be miserable when the wicked are in power. Proverbs 28:12. When the righteous triumph, there is great glory. But when the wicked rise, people hide themselves. The comfort of the people of God is the honor of the nation in which they live. There is great glory dwelling in the land when the righteous are in power. There is great rejoicing when people have their liberty. There's great joy when people have their free exercise of religion. I just got it's a group called Conduit in Action. It's a very conservative group in Northwest Arkansas. I got an email from them today. There's a Senate bill, I believe it's Senate Bill 146, that says this, that churches cannot be dictated to what they do with their worship services in a situation of emergency. It's to protect us from what happened. And it should be protected. The freedom of the assembly of the people is a protected right. And we've almost stood by and allowed that to be taken away from us. Now, with that in mind, I'll tell you a discussion that some in the church have had, and Tom and I have had, and we're going to share it with the men, and I fully expect the men of the church to support this. In Hope, Arkansas, last week, okay, Hope, Arkansas, in the last, I heard about it Wednesday, so in the last couple of weeks, the Department of Health in Arkansas had visited two churches, said that they must wear masks, okay, they must practice social distancing, and if anybody is in the church has had COVID, the whole church has got to quarantine for 2 weeks. Now listen, if they come here, we'll be respectful, and we'll listen, okay, and after they've had their peace, this will be our statement. You will not tell us how or when to do church. And that'll be our statement. We have been reasonable. We have practiced good practices. The Lord has blessed us and keep us healthy. But the church is not to be told by the government how they're to do church. That's the bottom line. The comfort of God, of the people of God, is the honor of the nation in which they live. Let me get back to my notes. We're on Proverbs 28:12. The church is not to be persecuted for practicing what they believe. Stephanie doesn't believe in abortion. She should not be forced by her employer, which she won't be probably at St. Michael's, to perform or to be a part of a surgical abortion, even if she works for a hospital. She shouldn't be forced to do that because she doesn't believe that is moral. She doesn't believe that is right. The advancement of the wicked defiles the beauty of a nation. When the wicked come to power, they fight against the sacred laws of God. The good man has to hide. A good man, listen, these are words, is canceled, marginalized, demonized, and driven from society. They just keep after me or John MacArthur or whoever until they finally drive him from society. He has no platform anymore. That's what they do. They demonize, marginalize, cancel, and drive people from society. And that man will naturally withdraw for his safety and freedom. Proverbs 28:28. When the wicked rise, people hide themselves, but when they perish, the righteous increase. This is basically what we just looked at in verse 12. When the wicked are in majority, the good people have to hide. Wise men retire into privacy. They are less inclined to be involved. All of this canceling, marginalizing, demonizing, that's exactly the intent that they silence the Word of God. They silence the truth. They silence godly speaking. Stop it. They don't want to hear it. Wise men and good men are afraid to do good in fear of persecution and bad treatment. When bad men and their power is taken from them, good revives again. There'll be a time of revival if the Lord doesn't return. The righteous increase. It is well with the land when the number of good people increase in it. That's why we are to take care with the education of our children. Listen to this. These were the four principles of public education in early American education. Are y'all ready? Schools were, number one, to teach religion, morality, and thirdly, knowledge. Somebody say amen. You remember what Calvin said? Calvin said in his beginning in speaking about when God wants to judge a nation, I'll have another quote from Martin Luther about education. He gives them wicked rulers. So the school's place in the beginning was to teach religion, morality, and knowledge. Secondly, it was to teach thinking skills. And thirdly, listen to this one. The kids were to be taught that there were high expectations of them. Tell me how that fits education today. That was public education in America. Martin Luther said, I'm afraid that the schools, listen, will prove the very gates of hell unless they diligently labor in explaining the Holy Scriptures and engraving them in the hearts of the youth. Was he right? Listen, I'm afraid that the schools will prove the very gates of hell. It'll be up on sermon audio tomorrow, Tammy. I'm afraid that the schools will prove the very gates of hell unless they diligently labor in explaining the Holy Scriptures and engraving them in the hearts of the youth. Did you know that Jimmy cannot legally pull out his Bible and teach from it tomorrow? Somebody ask him a question, he can answer it. He can't teach the Bible in public school. It's been removed. Listen to this. This will shock you. In the early 1900s, the Supreme Court of the United States voted 8-0 that the Bible must be taught in public school. You know what the textbook was in early public education? What in the world happened? I tell you what happened. Christians stood by and allowed the wicked to rule. So what has happened? On January the 20th, a platform was put into power, a platform that is wicked, evil, and perverted. You've got the platform in front of you. It doesn't have a party on it. It doesn't have any of that. It's just a platform. So I want you to look. Talking about abortion and sanctity of human life. This is the party in power. Supports repealing the Hyde Amendment to allow the government to fund abortion. Tom, you need one? Right there? Nope, they're all gone. Did Margaret? I thought I... Okay, this is just the fact of the matter, okay? This is fact. Supports repealing the Hyde Amendment to allow the government to fund abortion. Number two, codifies that abortion is a right, a fundamental right. They believe every woman should be able to access reproductive health care services, including safe and legal abortions. Will oppose and fight to overturn federal and state laws that create barriers to reproductive health rights and abortion. Redefining marriage, silent on marriage and family being the foundations of society. The LGBTQT agenda. We will fight to enact the Equality Act, a bill that would alter our entire federal civil rights framework, gut religious liberty, advance abortion, and allow biological men to play in women's sports if they identify as a transgender woman. Supports insurance cover of gender transition. Do you know what that means? We would pay for that little boy being surgically changed into a young woman. Did you ever think about what if 10 years later the light comes on and they think I have made a huge mistake? Did you know that much of the therapy, including the surgery, is irreversible? Supports banning practices aimed at assisting patients with unwanted same-sex attraction or gender dysphoria. In other words, school counselors could not counsel against becoming something other than you are. They would be disallowed from doing that. Will work to guarantee transgender students access to facilities based on their gender identity. Turn over to the next page, religious liberty. Religious freedom is a core American value and a core value of the Democratic Party. Democrats will protect the rights of each American for the free exercise of his or own religion. Celebrates the paramount importance of maintaining separation between church and state. A separation, matter of fact, that never was intended. Rejects broad religious exemption for businesses, medical providers, social service agencies, and others. And will fight to enact the Equality Act, a bill that will remove religious liberty protections and even force churches to violate the tenets of their faith. So that's the platform that is in power. So a platform that's wicked, evil, and perverted. But this battle to remove God from society has been calculated, well orchestrated, and systematic. It happened way before January the 20th, 2021. Okay. 1947, the Everson versus Board of Education case, which dealt with the First Amendment and the wall of separation of church and state, began to pave the way for the intrusion of the state into religious expressions. It was a case that allowed the government to begin to move into the realm of regulating what the church did. 1947. None of this is in your notes, by the way. Okay. How about in 1962? The removal of prayer to Jehovah God in public education. By the way, when they voted 8-0 that the Bible would be taught, who's the God of the Bible? The God of creation, the Father of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That was the textbook. In 1962, the removal of prayer to Jehovah God in public education. 1963, the removal of Bible from public schools. 1973, the slaying of unborn children began. 1980, the removal of the Ten Commandments from public school walls. 2015, the legalization of the sin of homosexuality and homosexual marriage. 2020, the expansion of homosexual and transgender rights. It didn't happen overnight. So the question is, where was the church? The handout, the picture that Jimmy had up, you can see it a little bigger on your handout. This is the agenda that was approved by the vote of 76 million people in America. That was the agenda voted in. That's fact of the matter. These are the things addressed on the first day or the first few days of being in office. Those things up there. A few hours after being inaugurated, the president mandated the transgender agenda in bathrooms and sports. Listen to this. What this means is that children can use either bathroom. You know, I've been thinking for a long time, we might as well put up there man and woman. So when you go in there, you know you could encounter either. So in government schools, take the boys and girls signs off the door and just go into any bathroom you want to. How about a 60-year-old biological male who identifies as a woman is going into the bathroom with your young daughter? Alliance Defending Freedom released the following statement. Unfortunately, this platform, this administration wasted no time in demanding policies that gut legal protections of women by denying female athletes fair competition in sports, ignoring women's unique health needs, and forcing vulnerable girls to share intimate spaces with men who identify as female. Under a similar policy, Alliance Defending Freedom is challenging in Connecticut. Listen to this. Two males, identifying as girls, have taken 15 women's state championship titles, depriving numerous female athletes of medals, advancement opportunities, and fair competition. Two biological males competing as females. That's where we're at. That's legal. It's being pushed. You remember back when I talked about complementarianism and egalitarianism and talked about the roles of the man and woman? You remember Fallon Fox? Fallon Fox was a transgender MMA fighter, a man self-identifying as a woman, fought a woman, Tamika Britt, and defeated her with TKO at 21.7 seconds of the first round, crushing her eye socket. He literally overwhelmed her. A biological man, MMA fighter, identifying as a woman, going against a woman. The Heritage Foundation says, this administration is committed to advancing a radically divisive transgender agenda and has set women back decades. Where are the rights of a woman? They have been trampled by, quote, a transgender woman. So, what are Christians to do? Well, I said it this morning. I don't think we ought to go looking for a fight. But I think when the fight comes to us, we ought to put up a good fight for the Lord and the truth of God's word. Amen. So, it's time for the church to gird its loins for battle. Tom and I have talked about the health department says you're going to do this or we're going to shut the doors. Listen, we have to hire a lawyer. We'll hire a lawyer. Hopefully we can get Alliance Defending Freedom or somebody to represent us. See, that's how people are silenced. A threat of a lawsuit. That's what they do. And then everybody says, well, it's going to cost so much. We can't afford that. We got to push back. It's time for individuals and for the church to speak the truth and not back down. Following the 2016 election, the left and this agenda launched their resistance movement. Now it's the Christians' turn to launch our own resistance movement. For too long, we've been quiet. How's it working out? For too long, we've been afraid. For too long, Christians have surrendered the cultural war to the evil and let them dictate the dialogue. It's time to enter the battle against evil. The murder of the unborn. The transing of America. Especially our young ladies. The rapid move to take away our right to freedom of speech. We will pray for 1 Timothy 2 and 2. Please turn there. And I want to tell you, I have made this commitment. And since January the 20th, if I have missed one day, there's some in here would testify to it, my wife and some others. I don't believe I've missed a day in praying for President Biden and his wife Jill, our Vice President Kamala Harris. I don't think I've missed a day. We will pray for the success of our president and vice president. We are mandated to. Because when government is successful, we ought to be able to live a peaceful and quiet life. Look at 1 Timothy 2 and 2. First of all, then, I urge that supplications, prayers, and intercessions and thanksgiving be made for how many people? All people. For kings and all who are in high positions, Why? That we may lead a peaceful and quiet life, godly and dignified in every way. This is good, and it is pleasing in the sight of God our Savior, who desires all people to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. We are to pray for our leaders. Well, listen to me. They must be held accountable. We will grow the pro-life movement. There's more people in today, in America today, that believe that abortion is wrong than at any other time in history. We need to continue to grow that movement. The way we stop abortion is for the majority of the people of America to know that abortion's wrong and to speak that it's wrong. We will call sin, sin. You know what hate crime legislation is? It's an opportunity for the quelling of freedom of speech and to get the church to the place that they'll commit a hate crime if they preach against homosexuality. It's all about one thing. We'll call evil, evil. We'll call perversion, perversion. We'll not be silenced. In this morning's packet was a focus on the family article. Jimmy, put the picture back up there if you can, please. You can imagine that this man, you can imagine that this man would be the center of attention, right? And wouldn't you think it would be everybody's responsibility, regardless of which side you're on, is to try to report what's going on here, right? Okay, so here's what happened. Focus on the family, which is a solid pro-life conservative group, tells Twitter, we're going to have a story about Rachel Levins. And we want you to tell us in what terms that we can identify her and not be censored. It's a news organization. Christian conservative organization. Twitter would not respond. So what Focus on the Family did was went to the LGBTQ communities, definition of that, and identified her as a biological man identifying as a woman. They got censored. Listen, if the Supreme Court does not stop the censoring of people and removing people for life from all social media, freedom of speech, listen to me, is gone. That happened in America this week. We will support those that advocate and work for good. Let me tell you who you ought to be behind. Anybody trying to do right and good. We will not be a movement of bigotry, hatred, or misery, but a movement of determination and positivity because we have the truth. This is the truth. It is the truth without error. We cannot be ashamed of the truth. We must take people to the truth. We must speak the truth. And there are some positive. Those that have shown themselves to be moral and conservative and constitutionalist hold a 6-3 majority in the Supreme Court. Let me tell you where a lot of these battles are going to be fought out at, in the court systems. And there are people like Liberty Counsel and Alliance Defending Freedom. There are people that we need to pray for and encourage and support because they're going to be fighting these legal battles. There are three branches of government. The executive, which is the president, the congressional, which is the House of Representatives and the Senate, and the judicial, which is the Supreme Court. At least, fortunately, we have the Supreme Court that would seem to tend to be on the side of good. That's the hope we have right now. Plus, we serve a mighty God who is omniscient, omnipotent, and omnipresent. Amen? Secondly, listen to me. This week, we will finish our second 30-week study of Genesis 1 through 11. Are y'all with me? In the last 73 years, 75 years, the attack has been on the foundation of Genesis 1 through 11. Everything we're talking about is an attack on the truth of this word. I'm not calling for us to take up the flag of inflammatory, violent rhetoric or that demonizes anybody that disagrees with us. But I'm calling on the church, this church, to have decency and respect and gentleness and kindness while holding fast to our biblical beliefs. And to be unapologetically proud of our beliefs. Most of all, we must be Christians, listen to me, who must be on the offensive and not on the defensive, but being on the offensive while being peaceful for the next 4 years. And how about this? I suggest that we get this downtrodden look off our face and have fun while we're doing it. Because we serve a mighty God. We serve a God that's on the throne. We serve a God that when He gets ready, He's going to come and bring an end to all evil. Amen? So, I'm telling you, I think there's some people you work with and some people out there that you associate with, they need to see you with a positive spirit. It's going to be okay. How do we know it's going to be okay? Because we know the God we serve. We know He's reigning. And we know He's soon coming again. Amen. Dear Lord, we pray that what we have done and said tonight would be informative. It would be challenging. It would be the truth. And that we would move forward in a positive and peaceful but unapologetic manner in speaking the truth and pushing back against evil. So I pray that You'd help us to be the church You'd have us to be. Lord, we love You, we praise You, and it's in Jesus' name that we do. Amen.